Thank you. Good to have you in our service here this morning. We're going to continue our Bible study here on Bible prophecy. And this is going to be on the false prophet and the Antichrist and about the city of Babylon, what they classify as a one-world church, but it's really a one-world, I should say, overseeing of all of the denominations and so forth. And not going to be to where the false prophet sets up a generic god and all the Muslims are going to have to dump Allah and Muhammad their prophet. The Catholics are going to have to dump the Pope and the worship of Mary and all that kind of stuff. None of that's going to take place. We'll show you how that that's going to be orchestrated here. And it's a very, very smart plan by the Antichrist of how he does that. In order to keep, after the rapture now, every Christian is gone. All of these churches, you have like your Muslims and so forth like that, and one thing or another, let me give you, I've got this here, let me give you an idea of what's going to be here and what problem that the false prophet's going to have. Islam, now this is after the rapture, these are not saved people. All these churches all over the world are lost people that have never trusted Christ, so they would have went at the rapture. Islam has 1.5 billion that'll be here after the rapture. Hinduism has 900 million. The Chinese traditional, and also should be on the diaspora, which means that those that have left that may have their own. Something like 394 million people are going to be left after the rapture in these religions. Buddhism has 376 million. Spiritism has 15 million. They just worship in that particular cult. We have the Baha'i. There's 7 million there. The Shinto, there are 4 million there. I can't even hardly pronounce that little thing. Zoroastrianism, they have 2.6 million in them. Unitarians have 800,000. All of this is your religious makeup of churches after the rapture. Give you an idea of what the false prophet has to deal with. Scientology, with L. Ron Hubbard, has 500,000 members to it. The Catholic organization has 1.2 billion in it as of 200 or 2010. Now, when we say that with the Roman Catholic, we're not talking about those that there could be a few scattered in there that are saved. They're in there because of pressure from their relatives or what. We're talking about the organization of what it has and the people that believe the teaching of the Roman Catholic organization. You're going to have, after the rapture, 1.2 billion people left here upon the earth. Lutherans, you have 65 million, Church of Christ, and all three of those teach water baptism for salvation, if you didn't know that. All of your Lutheran churches, your Missouri Synod, your Wisconsin Synod, your ELCA, Evangelical Lutheran Churches of America, all of those teach water salvation or water baptism for salvation. Mormons, you have 14.1 million of those. And then you have African traditional and diaspora and so forth. So you can see the amount of people in the billions that are going to have their different churches all over the world. So here's the false prophet who has tremendous power. And he is going to be in Babylon along with the Antichrist. They both are going to Babylon, and this is going to be their headquarters. So, you have the Antichrist, and you have the false prophet, and let me explain this. When you read the book of Revelation, you'll understand. The Antichrist is really two people. It is Satan who indwells a human body, a man. And that is the Antichrist, because Satan is going to use his power through this man, and he's going to control his mind to set up this one world government. Now, that's not going to be set up until after 3.5 years after the rapture. Then he will go into the temple, declare himself to be God, and therefore the false prophet, who we will label him as the top lieutenant of Satan himself. Satan's only indwelled two people, Judas and this man, known as we term him as the Antichrist. The false prophet is indwelled with a very powerful demon, and the reason they have that power is God permits them to have that power in order to fulfill his will. Now, the power that Christ had upon the earth when he raised himself from the dead, and the power that he had to raise others from the dead, those were miracles. Those have never been done before, and so forth. And then God says, if you're foolish enough to believe a lie, I'm going to send you a lie that you'll believe a lie. If you didn't believe the truth when I was here, and I did all of these miracles, in fact, in John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31, many other signs, that's miracles, did God do in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, Jesus' humanity is Christ's deity, and that believing you might have life through his name. So all of these miracles that were done, I sent you the truth, but you rejected it. You didn't believe it. And so forth. So if you're that stupid, I'm going to send you a lie that you'll believe the lie, but I'm also going to have 144,000 witnesses during that time that get saved right after the rapture that's going to be preaching the truth along with the two witnesses. So God always has his witnesses there, but he allows this to take place. Now, we come on down here, and with all of that, and gives you an idea that there's just not one little church. This false prophet has a big job on his hands. Satan is no fool. He knows he has but a short time. So, being in Babylon, the false prophet's in Babylon, he's got to work on setting up, and he's got a problem himself, because there are seven men right after the rapture from wherever they come from, but these come in, and they've got to be the leaders here to figure out what in the world are we going to do. We got people missing here, these Christians and so forth, and we got them out of here. We got a mess in this world. We don't have time to fool with these religious people. After all, we got these Christians out of here. That's going to be Satan's oratorial masterpiece when he comes in the middle of the tribulation period and declares himself to be God and say, oh, those Christians, none of them could get along. All they were the troublemakers. That's what your Supreme Court thinks of you today. You're the trouble in here. This is what your leaders in government think. You guys are the trouble. We can't brainwash the kids unless we get God out of the schools. And we got to get them out of society. This God is all right. Just don't mention Jesus Christ. So we got it. Without Christ, there is no salvation. Satan loves the leaders the United States of America has. We got leaders that have no guts, no backbone, except maybe a little speck here and a little speck there and a speck here and a speck there. The majority, no. Or you wouldn't have the mess that you have in America today until we took God out and began to kill our own children here, worse than some of the heathen people do with abortion. It's first degree murder. So, he's got a big job on his hands. He's down there. We got to get, he appoints the false prophet to come up with a plan, and he's going to give an example of what he wants that false prophet to do. Follow our plan. So these seven get their heads together. Then we're going to show you that as it continues on, five are fallen. He falls, they fall out. They're not going to be the leader. One is, that's number six. He rises up. There's only six and seven left, only two. He goes by the wayside, and the Antichrist, number seven, stands up. He has a death. He's number seven. He is not. He dies. He is the eighth. He has a resurrection, and he is of the seventh. So he was this man here, but he had a death by the sword, according to Revelation. And we find out that he was resurrected, so he's the eighth. But he started out as the seventh, so he's really the seventh, and he did the death and resurrection and so forth. Now, he's got a big problem. He's got to get those men to find out who is going to be the ultimate leader, which is going to be the Antichrist, a man Satan personally indwells. So, let's go back, because we want to center off. What about this one world church? What is the plan? Do you think that all of these, good night, if they'll kill you for burning the Quran, do you think that this guy's going to stand up and say, you better dump Allah now? That's World War III, folks. That's World War IV, V, VI, VII, whatever you want to do. If they'll kill you for burning the book, what do you think they'll do when you say, there is no Allah? There is no Muhammad. And they're too dumb to know that he was going to commit suicide until his wife talked him out of it. Then he became the big prophet, and so forth. So, this is the scenario that you got. So, it would be very unwise when we've just read you all of these churches here. Hundreds and thousands and millions of religious people that are lost all over the world. So, you can see there's got to be some kind of plan for the false prophet to handle this and to keep all these religions off of the back of the Antichrist and these world leaders while they figure out what to do here to get things going as the political and the commercial beast here to get things flowing here and get an economy going. And we still got to figure out which one of these seven are going to be the top dog. Well, we know because the Bible tells us here. So, turning this over to the false prophet, Satan and these other six leaders here come up with a plan. I figure no doubt Satan's. Even though they'll take his advice, what do they do? Well, let's start right out after the rapture. What happens right after the rapture? Well, we got Israel. Good night. We don't want to fool all them Jews. Now remember, all these Jews are lost. They're not saved, or they would have went up at the rapture. But they're going to cause a big problem. So the Antichrist and these other six men devise a plan. What we're going to do is we're not going to put a generic God up here because that isn't going to work. You're not going to get these millions and billions of Islam and all of that, and Muhammad and your Mormons and your Catholics and your Lutherans and all of that and your Scientology. You're not going to get all these religions to say, oh, goody, goody, where's this generic God? Well, good, we'll worship him. And they're going to dump all the thing that they've had ever since they've been grown up, ever since it existed. It isn't going to happen. The Antichrist knows that. He's not done. He's probably smarter than all of us put together. They say, all right, the false prophet, who is his top lieutenant, he's one of his top demons. I'm going to give you an example of what I want you to do, and I don't want to worry about you. You take care of it from there. Let's make a covenant with the nation of Israel, let them go back in, let them build their temple, and let them worship however they want to worship, right? Good. Israel's happy. I mean, man, this is what we've been wanting. Somebody to give us peace, right? Absolutely. Back in they go, they make a covenant with the Antichrist. He says, you go back there, worship, build your temple, do whatever you want. And they're happy. They go back there, they've ordained their Kohens. Man, they're going to offer their sacrifices just like they did in the Old Testament. They're lost on their way to hell. Here is the 144,000 Jews telling them, hey, don't do that, don't do that. God has his warning there, but they do it anyway. So, he doesn't have to worry about these lost Jews and going to worship them like they did under the old covenant there. They rejected Christ and many other so-called Christs. Works perfectly. We don't have a problem with the Jews. Now, here comes the false prophet down. What about all these religions? Open the satellite up, open the TVs up, open the televisions and so forth, open the computers up, and I have a worldwide announcement for all of you churches. Now, he represents the Antichrist who comes as a what? A peacemaker? Absolutely. He gets on there, it's all over this world here, all of you various religions, here is what our world leaders have decided to do. And here is the condition. You may all worship however you want to worship all over the world. You're at peace to do that. We will permit that because the Antichrist or our great father here that's going to have a one world religion. We couldn't have it with Christians here because all they want to do is fuss and fight and everything else. You know, that's it. So we got them out of there. So what happens is that suits them fine. Look what it did to Israel. They got peace. They can worship. Islam, you can worship like you want to worship, but there's one condition. Since the world government is a peaceful and now a utopia, these men want a utopia. Just you've been trying for 6,000 years and man has screwed it up every time. We're in worse shape than we've ever been in. But now we got a utopia here. And we want peace. There's one condition. You all can worship however you want to worship. No problem at all. We don't care. This is a one world organized nation of religions. And you can worship however you all want to worship. You Muslims can worship, you Lutherans can worship Luther again, whatever you want to do. Catholics, worship the Pope, we don't care. Call your priest father, we don't care. But there's a condition, and that one condition is you cannot since we are a peaceful government now projecting, you cannot interfere with another person's religion. You can't proselyte them. You can't go there and have marches. And the condition is, if you violate this, you will be killed. We will send our troops in and kill you immediately because you are interfering with peace just like you did prior to the rapture. And we got all those so-called troublemakers called Christians out of here. And we're not going to tolerate it because there's going to be peace. So you can worship however you want. Don't interfere with another person's religion or it's a death penalty with no probation. Period. They have a one world uniting of all religions under those conditions. You can worship however you want to worship. You try to get this whole list of millions and billions of people to throw their religious faith in the garbage can and worship some generic god. It isn't going to happen, folks. It isn't going to happen. Good night. We got a letter here. Three pages of this from a fellow out of state. Pastor Yelch, you have blasphemed Mary. You have shown total disrespect to Mary. And the Pope, what you have said about the Pope is totally blasphemy. You think that guy is going to dump the Roman Catholic religion to worship some generic god? You got to be kidding. It isn't going to happen. That takes place. Now we have all the religions of the world, fine, peaceful. If any of them do violate that and try to proselyte another or try to put them down or one thing or another, then they will be killed. Remember, the false prophet has tremendous, tremendous power. And we will see that. Now, let's go back. They do that. Everything goes fine. I mean, things begin. The Antichrist takes, he's the political. Now we're going to find out, and let's find out about these five fallen, one is, and so forth. So let's go in our Bibles, and let's go over here to, if you will, to the 17th chapter, all right? Here we go. 17th chapter of the book of Revelation, okay? Now, since the Bible was not written like a storybook, chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, in continuity of right straight down the line, you find a wave of truth to go out here. You find him to be speaking here as the Holy Spirit directs John to write. Then they'll be speaking over here about a different time. So you've got to rightly divide the word of truth so that no scripture contradicts another scripture. Okay, let's begin in verse 1, all right? Here, speaking of the one world church, here we go. And there came one of the seven angels, which had seven vials, talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, and I will show thee the judgment of the great whore that setteth upon many waters. We know that many waters here, that's the one world religion, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, excuse me, and the inhabitants of the earth have been drunk with the wine of her fornication. In other words, they bought it line, hook, and sinker. So he carried me away in the spirit of the wilderness, and I saw a woman, and that is set upon a scarlet-collared beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. Now, we're going to find out about the seven heads and the ten horns. All right? Very good. I want to go on down to verse 6 and answer this question right here. Because many people have asked, why in the world, then, in the first 3.5 years of the tribulation, why do we have Christians being killed? Now, these are Christians that got saved under the preaching of the 144,000 right after the rapture. I mean, these are Christians, there could be many, many Christians that get saved right after the rapture. Because, for example, we'll say you're sitting in Harry's Baptist Bible Church, you hear about the rapture, you don't believe it, you're skeptical about that, you know, you've been raised in this religion, you've been raised in that religion, so you're skeptical. I mean, after all, you know, my mother and my grandmother was of this particular denomination, and my dad and my mother, you have a wonderful mother and dad, it's hard for you to even conceive the idea that my mother and my father could be wrong. I've been confirmed. My goodness, the pastor said I'm all right. He sprinkled water, he baptized me. I'm all right. And along comes, here we come, You consider all of that and so forth there. And then the rapture takes place. And all of your friends that's been witnessing to you, they're gone. They're just disappeared. You think, maybe there was something to that. And then you come along to 144,000 here and say, boy, you better believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You're in this tribulation period. You heard that pastor talk about. You heard Christians witnessing to you and so forth. And here we are. It's here. It happened. Now will you believe what you see instead of what you've heard? I mean, this is reality. They're not here. This is what they were talking about. This is what they witnessed to you about. And you didn't believe it because mother and dad didn't believe it. Grandma and grandpa didn't believe it. Great-grandma didn't do it. And it passed on down from generation to generation to generation and swamped you under so that you don't believe just like they didn't believe. Now, it happened. Now will you believe what you see? What does it take? A sledgehammer to hit you in the head to believe the rapture's taking place. That's why they're not here. The Bible is true. They were lied to. They loved you, but they only taught what that lying preacher told them. You can't take everything literal. My goodness. And it's only a matter of interpretation. So maybe we're right and they're wrong or there. So you bought that package. But now you see it. They're gone. All over the world. It's on television. Where did all these people go and everything else? And so forth like that. So we come here and we're going to find out here, what about this over here? And what about who is this whore that setteth? That's the one world church. Verse 3, carried me away in the spirit in the wilderness. That's all woman set up on the scarlet covered beast. In other words, she is in control of the beast, or the Antichrist controls her. She does what he tells her and so forth. Or the false prophet, I should say. Full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. That's the beast that is talking about. Okay, let's go here on over to the 17th chapter, all right? Here we go. Let's look on down here now in verse 6. I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Let's answer the question. Why in the world were these Christians here? If you've killed these, the blood of the saints and so forth, I mean, you killed these Christians. Here, why did you do that? Remember this. The Antichrist says, I had to get rid of all these troublemakers. We could never have peace on this earth when we had these Christians here that all they wanted to do was fuss, fight, and argue. And he takes credit for getting rid of all of the people. You see, not that the rapture, as far as Christ is concerned, taking Christians home, he labels them as the troublemakers, and he, the Antichrist, I had to get rid of him so we could have peace. Doesn't he come as a peacemaker, folks? Is that what the Bible says and what Daniel says? He comes as a peacemaker? So, the false prophet is projecting peace to all of these churches. You can worship like you want. We don't care. We want you to have peace. We love you, and so forth like that. Now, here comes Christians and says, they're witnessing after the 144,000. Look, we were tricked in there. They can't have that because now, remember the condition? You can't cross the light. You can't go against the peace that we've given all these churches to worship like they want to. And here we have, we've got some of these others after the rapture that have listened to the 144,000. They're the same as the troublemakers we had to get rid of them immediately. Remember we said, if you try to proselyte anybody, you got to be killed. This is, you're interfering with our peace. That's why they're killed in the first 3.5 years without having to take the mark of the beast, because you didn't have to take the mark of the beast until the middle of the tribulation period. Therefore, these are Christians that got saved after the rapture, and you got to kill them because they believe the same way as those Christians that I got rid of that was causing all the trouble and keeping peace from coming in a utopia world like we all want. Now do you understand why they died in the first 3.5 years here of the tribulation period? They didn't have to take the mark of the beast. They were the troublemakers, just like the troublemakers that the Antichrist takes credit for getting rid of them so we could have a utopia of peace. Pretty slick, isn't it? Now, with setting up and having peace with making a covenant with Israel was the example for the false prophet to do with the rest of the churches. Let them worship like they want to worship. And along come these Christians that get saved after there. And they're causing trouble just like all these Christians did prior to the rapture. And Satan says, I had to get rid of them. And now a few of them got saved afterwards. Listen to these false prophets, 144,000. We got to get rid of them. So that's why I saw the woman, the one world church, or churches, I should say, drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. Now, I have no question in my mind that all of these churches, as soon as they see Christians trying to witness, that they will put out to these churches, all of these all over the world, when a Christian comes around, kill them. They won't even have to take their army or anything else. And these churches will have the right, the power to kill any Christian. They're the ones that the Antichrist, the false prophet, will not tolerate. So, the churches will do the job that they want done to get these Christians out of here so they won't witness anymore and lead anybody else to Christ during the first 3.5 years. Does that make sense to you? This is the future, folks. It's pre-written right in the Bible. Now let's go on in chapter 17 here, and let's find out about where it talks about there are 6, 7, and so forth. Let's get this here, okay? We find out here, and let's pick it up in verse 9, and here is the mind which hath wisdom. The 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman setteth. I want to stop just a second because you have the false teaching coming out that says this is a revival of the Roman Empire. Okay? Now, the reason they say that is Rome sets on 7 hills and the Pope's going to be the Antichrist, which is absolutely not true. Has nothing to do with the Roman Catholic Church, has nothing to do with Rome. This is a worldwide religious, I should say, of churches, domination of churches. It's the one world head of all of the churches. And they can worship. Now, to give you an example here, when they say, okay, Rome sets upon 7 hills, I had a list of 60, and that was just a small part of towns that sets on 7 hills. So in our book, we just listed 7. Amman, Jordan, 7 hills. Armagh, North Island, sets on 7 hills. Cincinnati, Ohio, United States. You ever hear of Cincinnati? It sets on 7 hills, too. Okay. Istanbul, Turkey. Los Angeles, California, United States. Somerville, Massachusetts. And Worcester, Massachusetts, also the United States. I just put 7. I have a whole list of 60, and that's just a list of 60. There are many more than that. So why are we saying, okay, these here set on 7 hills, Rome sets on 7 hills? Well, that could be, but I just might say this. If you're going to try to say that, why do you take 7 hills? I mean, why are you trying to make Rome bad? And again, too, if you have your slip here that we gave out, I want to show you something. And they say, well, that's a revival of the Roman Empire. And, you know, since Rome and there, and then you find out that when it began to deteriorate, that the Eastern and the Western, one capital was at Rome, the other Constantinople and so forth like that. But it's a Roman Empire. And we're going to have a revival of the Roman Empire. If you remember, we passed this out to you last week here. The Roman Empire only occupied 4.4% of the world landmass. So if you're going to have a revival of the Roman Empire, it's going to have to only limit itself to the Roman Empire. Where they get this, I do not know. They just hate the Pope so much that they're going to get him involved here, that he is the Antichrist, he is the one world leader, he is the Antichrist and so forth. That isn't true at all. You're going to find as we go through this that the one world government is going to be of all nations, all tribes. It's worldwide. It is not a revival of the Roman Empire. Bible scholars have taught that for years, and they have taught it wrong. It's not even a revival other than as Rome was a world government over 4.4% of all of the earth. The other 95.6% was not even, they didn't even control or anything. It is the establishment of a one world government, not a revival of the Roman Empire. Okay, now we come on down. Do you have your little thing here with the chest here? Do you have that? We pass that out there. Okay. Okay, let me get that out. Here we go. Now let's go on down. We find out there are seven kings. Okay, seven kings. Five are fallen, one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. Okay? You got seven that starts out right after the rapture. They make the deal, set up the thing, make a covenant with Israel. A false prophet, follow the same scheme, let them all worship however they want to worship here, set the thing in here. If any of them violate this, they're violating our peace because we're a peaceful nation now. We're a peaceful leaders and so forth. Then they got to be killed and got out of the way. Therefore, we have Christians who get saved. After the rapture, these Christians here begin to witness and so forth, kill them. So the churches out there have the freedom to kill these Christians because these are the troublemakers, just like we had to get rid of so that we could have a utopia world that America and all the world wants, just like Obama wants, if you didn't know this. He'd like that. He's doing a very good job of it because it's destroying America internally. You see, and maybe externally, because we're reducing our Air Force, we're reducing all of our military, and we're still leaving men over in Afghanistan to get slaughtered. Good night. And the guy over there that killed 17, I think that was his fourth term. You ought to be shot, Mr. President, because you sent a man over there four different terms, and you don't have enough common sense to realize two, at the most, is enough to drive you crazy. And if you survive two, you ought to thank God you made it out alive. And you send this kid back over there two more times when he has a family? That's idiocy. Don't tell me and then you're going to meet with the family and you're so sorry. Throw it in the trash can part because I don't believe a word you're saying. You're a user and an abuser. And to accomplish your thing of a one-world government here, which those men are behind you that put you out here as their spokesman, great. You're doing a great job. You're a great orator. You can think on your feet. You've been programmed. You're nothing but a little puppet into the hands of some men that want to control this world, and you're the best they got. And I got to agree, you are good. And we got four men that we're going to challenge you. You got to put them all four together. They couldn't equal up. You got to have another Obama to beat an Obama. And there ain't one of them four that's even close to it. Truthfully, if you want the truth. I mean, you got to have somebody that's going to stand up and to speak out and to bring out the lies this man has said and one thing or another. And if you don't do that, you might as well go home, sit in a rocking chair and pray for somebody else because it ain't going to happen, folks. And more than that, we're really on God's timetable. We used to put, in articles we wrote, Dear God, we pray that you'll bless America. We changed that. Because we'd be asking God to bless the heathen, to bless the anti-God nation we are now, to bless the Supreme Court that gives a right to kill human babies inside a mother's womb. They all ought to be hung and put out here. If anybody gets an electric chair, it ought to be the Supreme Court. Yeah. Truthfully. And then we put and changed it. Dear God, I would feel like a heathen and a hypocrite to ask you to bless America. We put, instead of that, even so come Lord Jesus. That's the only answer we have. You see? So, let's go on down, okay, and get this. Five are fallen, they fall out. Time's progressing now toward the middle of the tribulation. Seven kings, five are fallen, they fall out of contention. One is. That's number six. And the other is not yet come, and when he cometh, he must continue a short space. A short space is because when he cometh, he's only going to continue 3.5 years yet. Then he's done. Dies at the Battle of Armageddon. And the beast that was, you might mark this in your Bible, that was means alive. Just put it in there. He was alive. He is not. He's dead. And even he is the eighth because he is resurrected. And is of the seventh and goeth into perdition. When does he go into perdition? Clear at the end of the millennial reign of Christ when Satan is thrown into the lake of fire forever along with the beast and the false prophet. So you have a wave of truth clear on out to the end. That's when he goes into perdition. The final perdition. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings for 1 hour with the beast. The beast is the Antichrist. Remember, it is Satan indwelling a human being. That's the Antichrist. There. Now, they give their power unto the beast. So, there's ten kings who have received no kingdom as yet. He hasn't appointed them over the world in ten various providences. So there'll be a whole section of the world he'll put one king over. Another section of the world he will put another king over. He will divide this world into ten divisions and put one of his, I should say, demon possessed. We'll put them as lieutenants too. Maybe they're corporals, I don't know. But they're going to be his men over each section of that. So they're overseeing that whole providence that they have, you see. Now, which have received no kingdom yet. You can't give them a kingdom until you get the kings. So he meets with them, he appoints them, but receive power as kings for 1 hour with the beast. What do you mean they receive power? Because the Antichrist says, you have the power, and these are demon-possessed kings of the earth. These are demon-possessed. All of these that are involved here are demon-possessed, folks. Powerful demons. So, what happens there? He says, he gives them power, he gives them their territory that they're going to do, and so forth. Now remember in the verse up there, he had his death and he had his resurrection, didn't he? He most assuredly did. Okay? Now, after that, he declares himself to be God, chooses his ten men, and he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the horse setteth are the peoples and the multitudes and the nations and the tongues. This is not a revival of the Roman Empire. This is a one world system over the whole world, not limited to 4.4% of the world area that we have, land area. This is it. Where they ever come up with a, and I'll tell you where they come up with it if you want to know. I'll tell you right now. The more I see this, the more I read of the different so-called prophecy teachers and so forth, they copy from each other. Jack Ben Effie did the same thing. And yet he's very good on dispensations and the Lord coming and so forth. The only thing you got to watch him when he quotes out all these verses. Well, it's found in here, Matthew, there, it's in Luke here, and Joe here. You got to watch. You don't use the verses for the second coming of Christ, the end of the tribulation. I've caught him doing that. He just throws them out so fast, you just think he knows them all. And he uses verses in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John for the rapture, which none of them pertain to the rapture. Other things he's very good on, very, very good on. But then he come and here and did the same thing, and everybody followed him. One of my good friends just followed him. I know he did. So I read his book on Bible prophecy. All he does is follow Jack Van Effie. And he comes down, and when he comes down to Babylon, they all want to try to get the United States of America protected. So what do? They come down to Babylon and put a stop sign and make a left turn on a red light and go to say this is Babylon's United States of America. Can you believe this? Peter, it was still existing. Babylon has never been destroyed. It has deteriorated away. But good night, time of Nebuchadnezzar and that, they rebuilt a lot of the temples and everything else, right? And that Euphrates River run right down through there. It's the most beautiful thing you ever seen in your life. They had peacocks on the side and all of these fancy things here. It was like a storybook. How they ever built something like that. Some of them were built over there, the gates of Issachar and so forth. And they have that in the Chicago Museum now. Believe that or not. It was over somewhere else, and then the Chicago, I think it was 1931, bought it from wherever it was, and you can see it up in the museum up in Chicago now. They have that from Babylon's gate up there. That's very interesting. But here we go, and they come down, and they're going to try to get America in here. America's not found anywhere in the Bible, folks. I'm just going to tell you. Don't look for it. If it's existing after the rapture, it will be part of the nations that go against and join with the Antichrist. Do you know something right now? If you take the United States of America with this bunch of flamboyant leaders we got up there now with no backbone, you think they wouldn't go for a one world government for everybody? What do you think Obama wants? And I'm not just criticizing our president, I'm just saying he says it. I want to take the money from the rich and distribute it to the poor. I want equality for everybody. That's one world government. Keep everybody happy. Do away with private enterprise to where what you do and you make your money. You got to split it with this guy down the street there. He may be a drug addict and a drug, but after all, we got to be equal. We got to be equal. Well, as ludicrous as that, and how that would ever, except for the fact they consider the people of the United States of America to be the dumbest people there are alive on the face of the earth, or you wouldn't even put something out like that. If you thought like we thought back in the 1950s and 60s and that and so forth like that, I'll tell you, they would have marched on Washington if they ever hear something like that. What are you talking about? You mean I go out here and start a factory and I work and I employ 150 people and I got to split it with this guy down the road who's too lazy to get up until 12 o'clock noon? He wouldn't work if you give him a job and paid him a good price. But I got to split the money with him. This is Obamacare, folks. And have you been listening to what's going on? This is what it is. Well, I'll tell you what. You'd be better off being poor because you could have what he got for working and didn't have to do a lift a finger. Good night. You go fishing all the time. Yeah. I go out all the time. You wouldn't have to have a beauty shop or anything. I mean, it is. You know, the only reason I said that, we have a lady in our church who is a beautician, but I had to get her included in as far as the message here. I'm just kidding. Okay, so much for that. So, let's go on now. We'll finish this up here, okay? The beast that was and is not, he's dead. He's the eighth. He has a resurrection. He is of the seventh. That's where he started out before he had his death and resurrection. The ten horns, which thou sawest, are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom yet, because he has to appoint them first, but receive power. He has to tell them what their power is and what they can do. And they can do just about anything, and so forth. These have one mind, and shall give their power. They agree. And strength unto the beast. How will they give their power and strength unto the beast? By saying, we will do what you want us to do. We have the power to do it, and we will do what you legislate. What you want us to do, we'll use that power, and it will honor you. That's what it means. These shall make war with the Lamb. This is clear on out here to the battle of Armageddon. Verse 15 tells what the waters are. It says, and he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the horse setteth, are peoples, multitudes, and nations, and tongues, not the revival of the Roman Empire. Okay? I want to get that across because you're going to read Bible prophecy and we have a revival of the Roman Empire. Revival of the Roman Empire. And everybody jumps on the bandwagon because some big name said, I believe it's a revival of the Roman Empire because Rome sits on seven hills. Hot diggity gall. I can give you probably 80 other cities where are built on seven hills. Cincinnati. I remember Cincinnati. Worcester, Massachusetts, and so forth. You don't enter Bible prophecy that way at all. You determine it by what thus saith the Lord. And Babylon is mentioned some 250 some times, if I'm right, somewhere around there. And it's never been destroyed and so forth, but it will be. Now, what I wanted to get to, but I'm not going to have time to do it. And I want to ask you a question. I'll ask you this question after we close. Okay, but I got a question. Don't jump up and run out. Okay. Let me just read this, and then you can see almost four verses, and then I definitely will stop there. The ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore. That is, the one world false prophet overseeing all of the churches in the world. Now these ten will hate the whore. Now remember, he appointed them over there, their ten provinces over all the world. And he wants now, he's approaching now, five have fallen, one is the sixth, he's out of the way. Number seven, which is Satan indwelling a man known as the Antichrist. He arises, goes into the temple, has a death and resurrection. And now, he doesn't want anybody to worship any god except him. Because 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4 says, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, so that he as God goeth into the temple, declaring himself that he is God, and he demands to be worshipped. So now, all of these churches of the one world religion, all of these churches and denominations and sects, they got to be destroyed. So he uses the 10 kings that he gave to execute and get all of the others there, whatever, go down and destroy every church on the face of this earth. Because there's no God but me. Okay? See what it says. This is when the one world, we'll call it church, gets destroyed. In the middle of the tribulation, he will not have competition to be worshipped as anything by these other churches, denominations, the Roman Catholic, the Lutherans, and if there's Baptists that are lost, it doesn't make any difference what it is. All of those that we read, the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, that's the political beast, the Antichrist, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate, naked, and shall eat her flesh, burn her with fire. Other words, all over the world, if you're on the sea in a ship, you'll see it all over the world, no matter where you're at. Whether you're in the Mediterranean Sea, the Atlantic Ocean, if you're close enough to shore, where you can see all the burning, every church, every synagogue, every building that houses any kind of religion is going to be burnt. Get rid of her. God had put it in their hearts to fulfill his will. It's all directed by the Lord. And to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God should be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is a great city, that's Babylon, which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Over doesn't mean their control over that. It means is they are out there doing what the Antichrist says to do. So they're over there doing, if you want to put it that way, they're not ruling the Antichrist. The Antichrist is ruling them. He's over. So, our time's gone. Let me stop there. Okay? So, we have on your chart here, and we have five kings. They're fallen. We have six. We have the sixth. We have the seventh who came. Then he's here. He's alive. And then he is not. He died. And then he has a resurrection. Now, he is the ruler, the one world ruler that declares himself to be God. So we can't have any church worshiping any other deity of any kind. Kill them all. The church is destroyed all over the world. There's no more worshipers of any god, any denomination, anything. In the middle of the tribulation, then we find out Babylon itself, in the 18th chapter, is wiped completely off of the face of the earth, where the Antichrist is going to set up and rule from there. From there. And we're going to find out, at the Battle of Armageddon, the whole thing will be destroyed. The city is not destroyed here, but it's all the churches all over the world. The city will be destroyed, where the Antichrist rules out of, at the end of the tribulation, when he meets the Lord at the Battle of Armageddon, because he'll declare war against the saints and against the Lamb, and the Lamb of God will overcome him. And he will then be totally defeated. He will be chained for 1,000 years. The beast and the false prophet will be cast into the lake of fire. Then we have the millennium for 1,000 years. We got to stop there. Okay. I just did go over a little bit. I hope you didn't turn your oven up too high for that. Okay, for dinner. Here we go. The billfold sin. I'm a sinner. God said, Max Schaus, don't go to hell and pay for your sin. I love you. I did it 2,000 years ago. If you will believe that, and we'll put it in the Bible so people can't get it screwed up, twisted around, add tradition to it. We got Lutherans doing today, I can't believe this, but they do it. And last year, they take the palm leaves or some, wherever you get palm leaves at, I don't know. And then they let them, and they burn them, and then the preacher takes, and he'll put his finger in whatever they do to make it stick, and then he'll put that on your forehead. And I'm thinking, where'd you idiots come up with something like that? Truthfully. And you're saying, why do you call them idiots? I wouldn't, but they deserve the title. Where'd you pull that out of somewhere? You surely didn't pull out of the Bible part. You made it up to fool people to think you'll make them feel good because you can take your finger and a few ashes and put it on their forehead. And if I went to your church, I'll tell you what, I'd break your finger if you got close to my forehead with that dumb stuff. For what are you doing it for? Why don't you tell them how to go to heaven? Tell them Christ died for you. Tell them He paid for your sins. Tell them you can have eternal life instead of playing a game with a bunch of ashes from last year and putting them on my forehead with your finger. Now, I'll tell you what, you talk about Satan loving those kind of preachers, they are his lieutenants. I'll tell you. Now, I don't mean to insult you, but if you believe the Bible, you're not insulted at all. About time you hear something like that, because it's true. The games that churches play with people that allow them to play the games with them is absolutely unbelievable in the United States of America. You know. And have you had any ashes put on you? Raise your hands when we take your picture. No, I'm just joking. I am just joking with you. You know, a lot of people have, and then they got saved, they trust Christ as a Savior, and that's wonderful there. You know. Okay. The billfold sin, I'm a sinner, the hand is Christ. He paid for my sin. When He did that, and I believe it, the transfer is made. He takes my sin, marks it paid, and He takes His righteousness and gives it to me and says, I was made sin for you, Max Hounds, who knew no sin, that I may be made the righteousness of God in Him. So I have His righteousness. He gave it to me. I could never earn it, and I can't be as righteous as Him. All I've sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the glory of God is His absolute perfection. I can never attain that. So He has to give it to me when I accept the payment He made for me on the cross, and then I'm guaranteed that I'll never perish to have everlasting life. What a thrill that is. You ought to be glad today when you see America and you see the signs of the times that you have a home in heaven. Because if the rapture takes place tonight, you're either going up or you're going to stay. And if you stay, you've got the worst hell you have ever seen in your life to live through. And then probably you may take the mark of the beast. And if you do, you will go into an everlasting fire for all time and eternity. Why not trust the Lord Jesus Christ now? And know you have a home in heaven, and when that rapture comes, oh, you're absent from the body, present with the Lord. And you can watch everything we preached from heaven. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Well, I'll be up there. I went on the front. I tell you, I went to the front chair. Stick them, Lord! Stick them! Amen. I'm going to be rooting for the Lord. I said, give it to them again! You know, they're all left hook. You know, whatever you're going to do. Okay, let's just bow. Found a word of prayer, okay? Dear Lord, we're grateful to you. We thank you for all that you do for us. We thank you. You're just a wonderful Savior. I can never thank you for saving Margie and me, and we sure don't deserve it, dear Lord, but I thank you. I thank you from the bottom of my heart that I have a home in heaven when I leave this earth. You are so gracious and so kind to forgive a sinner like me. Bless each one here. Give us a wonderful day in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right.